Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for joining the Holderness Family Podcast. This will be our final podcast of 2022. And to celebrate it, Kim and I are 200 miles apart.
We're in different places.
But you know what? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I miss my beautiful wife. I'm looking at her through a Zoom call. And I think that, like, I can't wait for her to come home. She's coming home tomorrow to be part of the holiday festivities. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like, if we're a little schmoopy, it's because we haven't seen each other in a whole day.
And 2 days.
For us, that is more than nothing. You know, I think we're just very used to being up in each other's business. I'm sure you've really enjoyed that bed I see you sitting in right now and not having
anybody mess with you. I have slept really well. I think I'm such a light sleeper. So your snoring isn't even actual snoring. But just a loud breathing situation will wake me up. So I love you, but I've slept kind of well.
You have woken me up before and I said, am I snoring? And you said, no, you're just breathing too loud. And my answer to that is, I don't know what to do about that.
It's just like a...
okay. Well, you know what you need to do to live? Is to breathe. So
I know
I just said it's great for us to be apart. I do miss you. And, you know, I'm grateful for you. And today's podcast, I think this is kind of a trend we've had lately. It really is a lot about gratitude. And this is from something that Kim was writing over the last week. I'll let you take the mic from here. But it's something that I'm really grateful about in our lives as well.
Well, I think it's also appropriate that we are apart right now because we're on different trips with our teens.
Right,
well, our
exactly.
son, the week that this episode drops, turns 13.
That's right.
Our daughter is 15, and we took them on two separate trips. We both had so much fun. Our son decided for his 13th birthday, we gave him the option to either have a birthday party with friends, or Penn would take him to New York to go see UNC play in Madison Square Gardens. And that's what he chose. So he got to have like a fun father-son weekend. And Lola and I escaped to the beach just for a quiet, quiet weekend. So it was kind of the perfect weekend for both of our kids. But I was thinking and talking with a lot of friends about how awesome this stage of parenting is, and parenting teens can be hard. It's a challenge. It's never easy, but I think our kids, I am enjoying this stage so much. And so I wanted to kind of talk about this stage and specifically this time about why it is so magical. This is the week before Christmas. And I know when my kids were babies, this was always such a frantic, frantic time. And I'm always like, oh, but it's the magic. It's the magic. I want to tell people who are listening that maybe have little babies around their feet right now, it is still quite magical with teens. And I would say I even enjoy this more. So I wanted to talk about that. I went on Instagram and I asked for people to leave their voicemails and messages. And we got so many messages saying the same things and for different reasons. And that really this podcast is all about being in defense of teens. I think teens get a bad rap. Clearly, it's a very hard time of life. I mean, I even remember just the social struggles of being a teenager. It's hard. It's not perfect, but we are really loving it. I will also say part of the reason why I love it so much is maybe because I didn't find a community of people that was openly talking about how hard it was to parent infants and toddlers. So that time for me and my mental health was so hard. And of course, I would have jumped in front of a bus 1,000 times for my kids at that age. But it was so, so hard that I think it also makes me appreciate that. That's why I appreciate this stage even more.
You think it's because you found a community of people who are more open about it? Why do you suppose that is? Well, because I bet you're not alone here. I bet you like it is kind of tough. I think you're sort of in the weeds when it comes to infants and toddlers. And I don't know if it's because you're probably not embarrassed about it, but there are a lot of things going on that you probably, maybe you just don't want to talk about. It's like poop and boob milk and like a lot of
But honestly, I found my friends, we talked so much about that stuff, like the potty training schedule or nursing or all, like we talked very openly about that stuff. But what we didn't talk about was, God, you guys, this is a lot harder than I ever thought it was going to be.
Oh, and I gotcha. And so maybe like, that was a taboo thing to say, because it's supposed to be so wonderful.
It is supposed to be, I remember, my mom even saying, the minute you were born, I just looked into your eyes and I knew. And I remember the exact moment and like the devotion I had to my children and seeing them. But that bond was really hard. And to say that out loud, you feel a bit of shame that that stage was, it was just so hard. And for me personally, other people, it's not. I would say now, and of course our kids, like once they got like 6, 8, and they could wipe their own butts and had, could be a little more independent and could put sentences together, it started to get pretty fun. And now it's just a blast. And yeah. I'm so glad I went to the Instagram community and asked for feedback of like, why is it? I mean, I know why I think it's so magical right now, but I wanted to ask, like, am I the only one who thinks this is amazing? And overwhelmingly, people said, yeah, this is my favorite, because the messages were all about how thoughtful and caring and hardworking and funny. And there were so many messages about this generation of kids being inclusive and kind and normalizing mental health that I was like, oh, they did a better job putting into words than I did about why I love this stage right now. So we even got some voicemails. Speaking of mental health, Heather from Nashville just said it so perfectly about this wonderful generation of kids.
Hi, yes, this is Heather from Nashville, Tennessee. I have two teenagers. I also have a senior and a freshman in high school. And I think what makes them amazing is they seem to be the first generation that has normalized taking care of mental health. They actually have the language to talk about it. I guess the way they've been raised and the changes we've made in our culture have impacted their generation in that way. So it's really awesome to see that. And teenagers are also so full of sarcasm and fun and a little bit of chaos that keeps life fun and interesting. Hope people don't give them too much of a bad rap. Thanks. Bye.
It is so true. And even Molly from Instagram messaged us saying the teens are so curious. They're so full of hope. Even after a global pandemic, they're survivors. And maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe the teens now have been through so much that they create such boundaries about their mental health. They know how important it is because they certainly talk more openly. Our kids do. More openly about mental health and the concerns of their friends than we ever did, right?
We definitely, this could have gone two ways, by the way. The pandemic arrested the development of some of our kids emotionally in a lot of ways. So that part of it, I almost think the jury's still out, you know, at how that's going to affect everybody on the planet. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, adolescents and people who are undergoing these profound changes, which happen to be both of our children on some level of kind of either puberty or at least getting into high school. Like that was kind of when this pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. What really kind of stuck out to me, the two things that she said that I fully agree with that Heather said, number one was the language. Right. The mm-hmm. ability to talk about mental health and the ability to say, like, I need some time to decompress. I am having I'm having some anxiety right now. I'm getting vibrations. Even Ben Charles, like, my ADHD is really kicking right now. You know, being aware that if you have any type of neurodiversity, which pretty much everybody in our family does, and you're equipped with the ability to talk about it, that's so much better than when we were kids and didn't have a name for a lot of these things. And you know, like fear and lack of knowledge of all of that is tough. So yay to society for normalizing this a little bit more than they used to. Also yay to our kids for having the ability to say, I'm not perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to be clear, my mother would have been the first one to have her butts being analyzed because like she would have been so open to talk about these things. I mean, she used the best language she could. We just didn't have it. I mean, I talked to a therapist recently because I love my therapy. And she asked, you know, because we're trying to parse out for me, is it this acquired adult ADHD that I've kind of inflicted upon myself just from the overuse and distraction of social media and all these things, or is it anxiety? And she was asking me all of these questions. And, you know, I'm like, I was never tested for this stuff because that didn't exist. A test for this didn't exist when we were kids. So now that it does, I don't know. I just think it's so cool. And also, I will say, especially around this time of year, I will say in defense of teens, our kids can be really, really helpful. Yeah. And so many parents chimed in about that too, just about how willing these kids are right now to just like lend in and you know, just like jump in and lend a helping hand. The next voicemail is from Rebecca in Florida and talking about just how observant her son was. In a way, he was super helpful.
Hi, this is Rebecca. I'm from outside of Jacksonville, Florida. I have a 17-year-old son, and then I have a 15-year-old son, and then my youngest, he's not a teenager yet, but he's 11. Last Christmas, my son came to us and said that he had noticed that in his class, there was a kid, they were just talking about what they want to hope to get for Christmas, and they asked, like, hey, what, he's, you know, quiet boy, and I was like, hey, what do you want for Christmas, and he said he wanted an Xbox, and my son said, oh, do you think you're going to get it? Probably not. My grandma can't afford it, found out that he lived with his grandma, and I believe she was a school bus driver. And so my son got a whole bunch of his friends together, got them to donate some money. They actually pulled money together. I think it was about $200, and they were able to buy him a refurbished Xbox and a bunch of games, and they were able to surprise him on the last day of school. So it's just cool to think how your kids just surprised you. And to my son, it wasn't a big deal. He was just like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. Can you get me a box and wrap it? As a parent, I was just like super proud of him. Anyway, sorry for crying. Love you guys. You're the best. Bye.
Well, first of all, that's unbelievably sweet. That is so generous. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that that has become part of the culture of teenagers. And you and I have talked about this. Can we like give a shout out to Mr. Beast?
Oh my gosh.
And all of the other like creators who have made charity a big part of their platform, who are very young and have been doing this for a long, long time. Like our son responds to things like this and sees the opportunity. And I mean, maybe we were like that, but I mean, now that we have the tools, now that there's things like Venmo and there's emails and there's ways to communicate and there are these tools to help you do it. Our kids really have kind of jumped on board with this. And it's not the first time I've heard that story. It's one of the sweetest stories that I've heard. But
yeah,
but I think that's kind of becoming part of the culture now. And what a great thing to celebrate and say, yeah, toddler, nothing against toddlers and infants, but they can't do that.
Well, and I think that as a parent, right, our goal at least was like to not raise a-holes.
Yeah.
And bonus points if they actually turn out to be good, decent humans. And last Christmas, and again, our son asked for the same thing this year. He loves video. I mean, he plays basketball and stuff, but he's almost 13. He worships at the altar of video games. So he plays, what does he play? Madden?
He plays Madden. He plays FIFA. During the NBA season, he'll move over to NBA 2K. So he's a big sports player. Stuff. Yeah, big sports
the
player.
Sports stuff. And so he wants some, like an Xbox gift card or whatever. And then the rest, he's just not into stuff.
Right.
He's like, just donate the rest to charity. And so last year, that's what we did. And his birthday, by the way, is 2 days before Christmas. So it makes it hard when your kid asks for nothing to, I want to buy him presents. You know, I want to get him something for his birthday. So that's what we're doing. So for his birthday, though, I will say he's getting a lot of stuff he already needs because he's growing so fast. He needs new like sweatpants and hoodies. So he's getting that stuff, but he won't. Really, he doesn't really care about that stuff. He won't.
He would wear two t-shirts and two hoodies and two sweatpants for the rest of his life. There's a whole layer of clothing that has never been touched.
It's so funny.
There's like three shirts and that's it. And
you do laundry and so you put the clean stuff on the top. Yeah, like the back of the drawer he doesn't even wear. So we're doing that. And then we're Mr. Beast, which, by the way, if you're listening to this and haven't heard, he's this creator. He happens to live in North Carolina and he has a gajillion YouTube subscribers, but he has an entire charity YouTube channel. And so it opened up our son's eyes, our little guy's eyes to what it means to be a really just, and that's the whole point of a lot of his videos. Yeah. He gives so much stuff away. It's really touching to see, and our daughter is the same way, although her Christmas list was like a Google Slides presentation. So
right. She's
very generous, but also wanted some stuff for Christmas.
I mean, look, and we're not the only ones who have a teenager who has sent us a PowerPoint presentation for Christmas. That's obviously terrible. A thing. And I will say, she is following the rules that we have set out ourselves after our relationship counseling, which is mature people ask for what they want. And she asks for what she wants. And what she wants is a lot.
Yeah. And she's always like, you don't have to give me everything. I was like, oh, don't you worry. You're not getting everything on this list. I think also I was thinking about how much fun teens are to be around.
Yes.
And of course, when they were toddlers, like their goofy, silly laughs, like super fun, but we can have actual conversations.
Going back to the first voicemail, I want to tell a little story that Lola's going to be okay with this. I'm going to go ahead and preach that Lola hopefully is okay with this. It's a personal story, but the first voicemail woman was talking about sarcasm and wit, and sarcasm and wit are born out of self-awareness, and self-awareness can be really funny. And my daughter, like everyone else at that age, they menstruate, right? And so when when that happens, she has owned it and has like, she'll tell me, she's like, here it comes, dad. And
it's go time.
And so I would have this talk with her. I'm like, so what can I do? She's like, well, don't get in my way. I'm like, okay, I won't get in your way. She's like, but don't go too far away. I'm like, this actually sounds really familiar. Like I feel like I've done this before in my life and I'm very well trained for this. And so at the end of all of the instructions, I was like, so basically I just need to live in constant fear. And she goes, that's exactly what you need to do. And then she explained what it was like and how uncomfortable it was. And good God, I empathize as much as I can, but I don't have that going on in my body. But so it's at the point now that when she gets to that time, I know she's miserable, but we have this like little dialogue that makes me laugh, and she's miserable, but she laughs too because she knows it's ridiculous that we're having this conversation. And she has this like crazy alter ego that just starts yelling at me, but doesn't mean it.
Right? It's very funny. Yeah,
in a very sarcastic way. But she's picked up all of this because of self-awareness and because of the ability to self-deprecate. And that was something I don't know that I even expected to see from my kids until they were fully grown adults out of our house, and they're already doing that. And that has been my favorite part of having teenagers.
Stu's Gale from Instagram said, you can talk with them, joke with them, be there for them when real life happens, because by the way, real life does happen. And Breck and Jay says, my son picks me up, carries me around the kitchen, and makes me scream with laughter. And then Sugar Magnolia on Instagram said, our text thread is hilarious. I will say, it's not that we're inappropriate with our kids, but the humor,
like irreverent, you can be irreverent.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And you can, yes, sarcasm. And they are just so fun to be around.
More on this after these words.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like,
there is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E.
So our next voicemail, I thought this was really accurate because she talks about what we're learning about ourselves as parents through parenting teens.
Hi, this is Lindsay Murphy. I am from North Stonington, Connecticut, and I want to answer your question on why teens are awesome. Having gone through it with two teens at once, I have boy-girl 20-year-old twins. I loved the teen years because they taught me to pause, to listen. I felt like some of my best parenting came from the teen years. Not that it was easy, not that it was fun, but that I learned so much about listening to kids who are developing and being there for them and letting them fail and letting them make mistakes, but then watching them succeed. It was so much listening and talking. I actually loved it so much. It was my favorite section of this parenting journey that I'm on, and I miss it so much. Just wanted to share. Thank you for posting that. Good luck on your podcast. Bye.
Two things that really jumped out at me there, Kim. First of all, she said several times, there's so much that you can learn from your kids. Yes. And then she said, that's why I feel like that was my best parenting. Interesting. That's a good way to look at it. You do your best parenting when you're hearing them and when you're learning from them. Let me ask you this. What have you learned about yourself from your kids? And what have you learned about your kids in these last 2 or 3 years of this going on?
Man, and maybe this is an entirely different podcast. I would say, as she mentioned, the social stuff is really hard to navigate. And
right.
I think our children are human beings. So they've experienced some social drama just as natural in this stage and age. And it is so hard for me. I feel like in ways that both my kids will mention, you know, for whatever reason, they're being excluded or whatever's happening, and they seem okay with it, I get very anxious and I get, my chest gets tight and I'm like, well, what happened? Did you say something? And I immediately, it becomes so important for me that they're included, when really one of our children has exited a particular friend group because it didn't serve our child, and they noticed, you know, this particular friend group wasn't being very kind to people and said, you know, that's a popular group and they're trying so hard to be popular that they're being mean to people.
Yeah.
Therefore, I don't want to be part of that. But it was so, I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you, but are they going to be mad? Like, I didn't say that, but I got really twisted in my own head and I had to sit back and say, pause. They're handling this perfectly.
Yeah.
I had this weird desire to be included that brought up all my own high school-ish, that's like, you know, not being included, not popular enough, like all of that. I learned I still had to process, but my kids were just fine. They were fine. They're like, yeah, this person, I went to a slumber party and they're mad at me for this and I didn't do that. And she says I did and whatever, I'm going to get over it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, I'm fine. It'll blow over. We'll be fine next week. And of course they were, but my kids handle it better than I did.
For me, what I've learned about myself and about my kids, but mostly about myself, that as a parent, I was not doing a great job giving them any space to just kind of fail or not succeed or struggle or any of those other things, because I have been rooting for them so hard and doing everything I can to set them up for success. And, you know, because of that, I think because of all that we are doing to try to set our kids up for success, we also set ourselves up for disappointment if they don't succeed after what we set them up to do, which is crazy, right? Like, you shouldn't succeed all the time. You should struggle. You should fail. All of my stories that I've told my children about why I'm successful now are based in stories of failure.
Right.
The reason,
and I always say, like, no good story ever started with they won every single game and everybody liked me.
It's a boring,
all the time.
It's a terrible, boring story that nobody wants. And everyone's going to hate you also if you're perfect. People are just going to, just newsflash, if you're perfect, people hate you. You just don't know it. They hate you. They're very jealous. No, I'm kidding. No, but for me, so that's something I've learned lately. And I think part of that was through these podcasts, the things I've learned about myself as an Enneagram type that is averse to pain. I project that on my children as well. I want them to be pain-free and I don't sit in the suck very well. And I think I project that onto my kids and I'm trying to do better. Doesn't mean I'm doing better, but I'm trying to do better and letting them sit in the suck. I remember there was some very important times this year, particularly with my son, when he was very disappointed in something athletic that either he was a part of actively or that he was even watching on a TV that affected him so much, because he's very into sports right now. Instead of saying, hey, dude, cheer up. Come on. You don't need to, like, come on. Let's look on the bright side. And I'm stopping that now. I'm like, okay, sit in the suck, dude. Enjoy this. Like, put this in your heart, whatever you're feeling right now, because it's valid for you to feel this way.
I'm proud of you for acknowledging that. I think you and I are both wired this way, but I think maybe it's just a general parenting thing that we want it to be easier for our kids than it is for us. So that's why,
yes,
I think they don't call it helicopter parenting. Helicopter parenting is when you hover. Lawnmower parents are when you like mow the path clear for them. I think you and I
we're lawnmower parents.
We our natural instincts are to do that, but we've caught ourselves in time that we don't rescue them from every tough situation.
Not everything, but we both do. I mean, I again, it's our personality types that are going to govern how we parent, and that can be mm-hmm. good in some ways, and in other ways you kind of just have to watch out for it. Like, and going back to our personality types, I am someone who always wants people around me to be happy all the time, and I'm adverse to pain. You are very ambitious, and as they say on the Enneagram, you're a perfectionist, which you, of course, yes. disagree with, which is what perfectionists do.
Right.
And so...
But no, I recognize that about myself.
Right, but yeah. You work actively on trying not to project perfection on your kids.
I work actively, and then I have to say things out loud, and I think they're smart enough to know that, like, that... what I'm saying is probably different than what's like in my head. But even around Christmas, I have to fight perfectionism hard at Christmas, meaning the meals are cooked and planned, you know, the gifts are perfectly wrapped, not even perfectly wrapped, but like wrap them. Like, okay, now it's time for us to enjoy ourselves. Like,
it's December 28th.
Right now, the Christmas is done. So I have to, even with this weekend, because you guys had this like super fun guys weekend, and we've had the best time just sitting around doing nothing.
That sounds awesome.
But I'm like, ooh, is it Christmassy enough? Because we don't, you know, the house where we're staying doesn't have a Christmas tree, and never, you know, like, should we be watching more Christmas movies? And I was like, absolutely not. We need to watch the Harry and Meghan documentary. So it's I have learned so much about myself seeing my kids live their experience of life. I say it all the time, the hardest part of parenting is seeing your kids make decisions that you wouldn't make. It's not, listen, they're still so young, so it's like they haven't made that many huge impactful decisions. It's really been a challenge to kind of release control, because it's their lives, and it's been really hard, but it's been so fun to see them develop into the people they were meant to be. And it's just like, it's just super fun to be part of their journey.
Seeing all of these great comments that we got from Instagram, a lot of these are things that are happening to us. And a lot of these are things, Kim, that I think we haven't even gotten to yet, because we're new in the teenage game
parents, compared
to most. We haven't gotten into the 16s, although we're very close. I love that Amanda CBOO wrote, "A 17-year-old son volunteered to be our designated driver to and from a party." That's pretty
That's
good.
Amazing.
We've got L Babyak 5, who says, "The teenage boys love proving their strength. I haven't had to move furniture in years." Right?
Amazing.
We've got
wait for that.
Ashy 22 Lou said, "She knows exactly what kind of memes and gifts to send me to brighten my day." Right? These don't sound like kids. They sound like good neighbors and good friends. Here's another one. Marns 11 said, "My teen rocks because he's the best workout buddy I've ever had." Like, we're getting to the point where that's going to be a thing.
And let me be clear. We love being around our kids. We love it, but we don't try to become best friends with our kids, because I think the parenting role still needs some firm boundaries. And there's plenty of times when we have to say, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
Or that's a hard boundary. And that's like, friends don't do that. So we hope we've instilled that. We hope they know they can trust us. They can talk to us about hard things, but I'm personally not trying to be their best friend.
Yeah. Also want to give a shout out to Sophie Half Zero, who wrote, "I mean, I'm the teen, but I drive my little siblings everywhere." So she got in. I'm glad. Thank you for listening, Sophie. And I'm glad getting the perspective of the teens. Yeah, you do. I guarantee you drive your little siblings everywhere. It's your job.
It's
right.
So our daughter turned 16 in February. And, you know, our plan right now, because Penn and I work from home, we have two cars right now.
Yep.
And most of the reason we need two cars is just to drive two kids to two different places. But if she's driving, we probably don't need two cars.
True.
So our thing is, like, she would just share a family car. Like, she would drive the car, typically drive around. And mm-hmm. But if I need it, it's still my car. she was like, listen, if I got my own car, I would drive PC to school. I would do that. I would take him everywhere. I'm like, girl, you gotta have your own stuff. So it is so cute how she is so desperate for a car.
She's working it. I like the plan that we have for the car. Which
we'll see how long that lasts.
Which is like we're gonna get her a situation that if she does have her own car, we're not buying her a fancy car. Like she needs to spend a year, if that, maybe more, with a clunker.
Well, here's the thing though about the clunker.
A safe clunker.
I do want
safe
all clunker. The safe.
Okay, say well, you can still get safe. Like there's some safe cars that are clunkers.
No. But I want like all the.
Oh God, you want like the lane like, assist?
If there is a way to wrap.
Okay.
A car in bubble wrap.
Yep, got it. And just self-drive.
And that's the car I want from my 16-year-old.
You want her to ride the subway.
I mean, if we had better public transportation, this wouldn't be an issue.
Right. Well, that's going to be... Listen, we've got plenty of content next year because Lola is just about... Did she drive... She drove all the way out to the beach.
She drove all the way out to the beach. And my thing this time was like... She's such a good driver. She's a way better driver than I was when I was 15.
Excellent.
And I told her, I was like, I'm putting on the GPS and it's your job. You have to get there. Nice. I'm not going to tell you what to do. And I was kind of looking down at my phone. And I had my laptop in my lap. I was working and I looked up. She was like, what am I supposed to do here? So like on the exit ramp, there was a cop parked sideways. Like it was closed.
Yeah.
Where we were supposed to get off.
Yeah.
I was like, well, don't go there.
Right.
So we had to like, she was like about to merge. I was like, oh geez, okay, I need to pay attention.
There are so many things that you just forget, you take for granted that you have to learn.
Like, well, the GPS is telling me to go there. I'm like, oh my God, he's parked sideways. Stop. She's
like, she was like stopped in the middle of the road because like she was taking a left and there was a car at a light on the left side of the road that was trying to turn left. So you've got the right of way if you don't have a stop sign, which we do. And Lola just stopped. And I was like, what are you doing, Lola? She's like, I'm waiting for that other person. I'm like, that person's waiting for you. Why? Because that person's at a stop sign. But it's a four-way.
So hard.
She's like, but it's a four-way stop. I'm like, there's no stop sign. We're in the middle of the road.
But the right-of-way thing is confusing.
It is. But that's what I'm saying. We take it for granted. None of this, like this stuff is all easy to us because we've driven for a gajillion hours.
Oh my gosh. A million hours.
And a lot of it, she's just going to have to figure out by screwing up a little bit and just hopefully
I just would like her to not screw up while in a car.
I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So folks, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I hope, let me say also, having teens at Christmas is the best. Our teens have created their own traditions. They're super aware of the prices of things, so they're very grateful. And they're so much fun to be around. And they sleep in. I mean, our kids still wake up a little early, but like they're not up at 5 a.m.
Right.
So it's great.
Yeah, we just don't sleep in.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
We don't sleep. My body wakes me up so stinking early. Well, you guys, thanks for letting us just gush about teens because I just feel like there's not enough good news about kids these days. Kids, every time I say kids these days, I feel 87, but I just feel like there's not enough good news about teens. So I just wanted to stand up here and shout from the mountaintops. These are, you know, there's some really good kids out there.
If by standing you mean laying back.
Oh, I'm sitting in a bed right now.
Do I
sound so chill right now?
I'm not going to say you sound pretty chill. But that's
right
good. That's where, like, I want you. Like, you're in a good place. So I'm
in a very good place right now.
Did Kim sound chill? Please comment below.
I'm like, Penn, we're going to record this podcast. He's like, really? Oh, I'm like, yes, we are.
So happy holidays, everyone. And we hope that you all get a little bit of time in the next few weeks to be as chill as Kim is right now.
I think that if I were at home right now, I would not be chill because there's 1,000 things to do. But here, it's like not my house.
There's
so I not can't
that,
really do anything.
There's less to do than like we can kind of space it out and do a couple.
How many Christmas presents have you wrapped?
None. But why would I wrap anything before the night before Christmas?
I know, because then you can't enjoy Christmas Eve.
That's true. I'll wrap a little bit.
We have a deadline because PC's birthday is the 23rd. So I want to have everything done by the 22nd.
Okay, so I've got a new deadline. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that when you get home.
Well, I love you.
Love you. Love you too, babe. And thank you everyone for listening. If you made it this far, you can take a screenshot and send it to us, which is like proof that we've done something that people have made it to the end of. You can leave a comment. You can subscribe if you haven't already. That really makes a big difference for us. And we can't wait to see you guys in 2023.
Okay. Bye.